Hello, welcome to the first information chat about the clinical academic track here at the University of St Andrews. And joining me this time is clinical senior lecturer in ophthalmology and honorary professor at LSHDM, because there's something I've learned about University of St Andrews. Like me, everyone seems to have gone to the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine at some point, and consultant in NHS 5. Dr. Andrew Blakey, how are you?
I'm very well. Thanks so much for having me.
No, my pleasure. So tell anyone that could be possibly listening to this, what is it that you do? What is ophthalmology?
Sure. Yeah. So ophthalmology is a subspecialty within medicine whereby we deliver surgical and medical services for, so is vision really, because it does involve not just the eyes, but also the brain. Brain-related visual impairments, cerebral visual impairments, one of my big interests clinically, but also academically at the University of St Andrews. So all to do with vision and eyes.
Mm. And how did you get into that, both academically and clinically, I suppose? Which came first?
Gosh, that's a good question, actually. So I was, I'll be honest, quite a disillusioned medical student. And I wasn't really too sure what I wanted to be when I grew up. And when I graduated, I did a general practice rotation. Mm-hmm. I wasn't really too sure what speciality I was heading towards and what I was interested in. And actually within that GP rotation, which was down in the Midlands, based around in Leicester, there was a 4-month ophthalmology job within that rotation. Did medicine, A&E, general practice, obs and gyne, peds, and ophthalmology. And then end of the first day of ophthalmology, I thought, I like this. I like the people, the actual ophthalmologists. I liked the gadgets we were using. I liked the fact it was so visually based. I was having to, taking a history and doing an examination using these tools. You could pretty much work out 9 times out of 10 what's wrong with people without having to go for other investigations or tests. You're a very independent speciality. And of course, they had this amazing operation, a cataract operation, whereby you turn people's lives around in 10, 15 minutes from not seeing to seeing. So anyway, at the end of the first week, I realised this was probably for me. And then I just started looking for back in the day, it was a senior house officer job, with kind of a junior training job in ophthalmology. And I opened the British Medical Journal, the magazine, and there was a SHO job in Dunfermline and NHS 5. Mm-hmm. So I phoned them up and had a wee blether, and then interviewed a few weeks later, and I got an SHO job in ophthalmology, and that was 1995. And we're 31 years later and I'm still here.
So that's where the academic part came in as well.
It's interesting. Yeah. So when I was in Leicester, one of my main mentors was a guy called John Sanford Smith. He's a senior ophthalmology consultant at the time. He was just about to retire. He'd written all the books on eye diseases in hot climates. He'd worked overseas in Africa and Asia. And he was a really, really inspiring character. Lots of good stories. Obviously had a fantastic career working in the UK, but also working overseas. And he was very inspiring. I always kept in touch with him. And there was quite a few trainees within the Leicester ophthalmology group who were specifically training with John to go back to a low resource settings and to work as ophthalmologists. Mm-hmm. And I kept in touch with them. And then, so during my ophthalmology training, I would visit them. Very good pal called Nick Metcalf, who was working in Malawi with CBM, one of the big eye care charities, and I visited him and spent time with him, saw what he did, and it was just very, very inspirational. So that was one of the reasons I wanted to do ophthalmology, was to work in low resource settings and try and enhance the eye care in the regions where the burden for eye disease and blindness is greatest. And that all came about really through working with John Sanford Smith and meeting Nick and kind of getting into the global eye care gig then.
Mm. And so, other than juggling your calendar, because you must spend some time being a consultant, some time being an academic, 102 email addresses, probably hundreds of thousands of emails per day. But what are the best and worst bits about being a clinical academic?
There are good bits very regularly, but there are some bad bits. And when the bad bits happen, you just need to reflect on the good bits and trying to get over yourself. I think one of the most big challenging things is juggling the diary. It is tricky. So I've annualised my NHS service delivery to 9/12. So 9 months of the year I provide NHS services. at 6.75 sessions. and then for 3 months of the year, I'm fully dedicated to the university and the ArcLight project. But obviously for the other 9 months of the year, I'm providing 2 or 3 days a week at the university as well. So it is a juggle. And during those 3 months when I'm not doing NHS, I tend to be overseas, either working with iCare NGOs, delivering workshops, implementing our devices that we make, which is our kind of USP here. That's what we do, this ArcLight project, making low-cost, frugal, solar-powered, easy-to-use, very robust, portable devices to diagnose eye and increasingly ear disease. But also doing things like attending conferences, presenting our research, networking with people within Ministry of Health and teaching institutions to promote our devices and to get them scaled up and used around the world. So it's a complicated calendar through the year. Always, as soon as I finish one trip, planning the next one, making sure the visas are all sorted out, making sure flights are all going to join up, accommodation sorted, the local team know I'm coming, we're both on the same page about what I'm going to deliver, making sure devices have been sent out ahead of time, they've got through customs. It is complicated, it's hard work, but it's very, very rewarding. Sometimes it doesn't work out and you're a bit frustrated, you're a bit disappointed. But to be honest, it is amazing, actually. We generally, what we set out to deliver, we manage to deliver. But it is challenging, it is tiring, it does consume a lot of emotional as well as physical energy, for sure.
Mm. Well, speaking of amazing, you mentioned it briefly there. What is ArcLight?
So the ArcLight is a low-cost direct ophthalmoscope and anterior segment loop for examining the front of the eyes, as well as an otoscope. So it's a 3-in-1 device. It was originally conceived by William J. Williams, who's a designer and optometrist and lateral thinker, around 15 years ago now. And he got funding from an iCare NGO called the Fred Hollows Foundation. And that allowed him to go from an idea, a blueprint, a bit of paper, to a physical model of the first version of the ArcLight. And then actually it was John Sanford Smith who met William at a meeting. And he said, William, you need someone who's a jobbing clinical ophthalmologist with interest in global eye care and who's got network and contacts overseas to work with you to try and establish this and develop it. And so I met William over 10 years ago now, and we've been working hard together to try and grow the ArcLight device into the kind of number one eye or ear examination tool in low resource settings. And so over the last 10 years, we've established the ArcLight project at the University of St. Andrews, a small social enterprise business that sells devices now to richer people in richer countries to make a bit of profit to allow us to provide the device to lower resource settings at cost price, working with eye care NGOs, ministries of health, teaching institutions to adopt the device and use it at scale within these low resource settings to strengthen eye as well as ear care.
Oh, that's all very interesting. And yeah, admittedly, I walk past that ArcLight poster thing every day. I'm like, what is the ArcLight? But now that's considered me all up to speed on what the ArcLight is. So to finish off our brief little chat here, we imagine that most people listening to these are clinicians in some field somewhere. What are the top tips you would advise about maybe taking that step into the academic world that we now habitate?
Yeah, so top tips. I'm probably the least useful person to ask about top tips although I'm working as a clinical academic, I would say my main strength within the school here really, really is kind of teaching and mentorship and supervision and development of ideas. I am not the best academic. I work with other academics who are proper academics, you know, with, earn all the t-shirts, got the big grants, understand the science. And I suppose I kind of use and exploit their their smartness to kind of implement William and I's broader ideas. So I'm a jobbing hobbyist academic, but by no means an expert at all. So I think the thing is to realize, my tip there therefore would be to recognize your strengths and your weaknesses, and to look around and see who can dovetail with what you're able to do to get the most from the team. And I suppose that's my top tip.
It's not what you know, it's who you know, as they always say. Andrew, thank you very much for this brief chat. It was a pleasure.
Thank you very much.